So this is a big topic, mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu. It's a Shas topic, and we could spend a few days on this. We'll only spend two. We'll do today and tomorrow. Today we'll just talk about, generally speaking, the general in the big machlokas legabe this topic, and then tomorrow we'll talk about the Baal Mor. I don't know if you got a chance to see the Baal Mor, but we'll focus on the Baal Mor tomorrow. He talks about mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu with respect to mitzvahs derabanan, whether that applies to mitzvahs derabanan. That's a very interesting sugya. But again, today we'll just stay focused on the general sugya of mitzvos, lav, lenos, nitnu. So it starts off here in the sugya, in Rosh Hashanah, lav, chav, ches, amin, aleph. The Gemara talks about it in the context of Me'ilah, in the context of Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara says something interesting about the modar na, that's called la shofar, that if it's shel mitzvah, it's a mutter, someone else could blow for him. And then the Gemara says, with respect to if a person took a nether not to get hana from someone, so he's allowed to get sprinkled parduma water, mechatas water, during the rainy season, the winter, because there's no hana he's going to get in the rainy season, in the winter. In the summer, he's not allowed to, because there's some refreshing feeling of the cold water being sprayed on you. And in a similar vein, a person is modern from a mayan, from a spring, he could go in the winter because he's going to freeze from there and there's no hana, but in the summer, so he's not allowed to, because in addition to the mitzvah of going to the mikvah, he's also getting the hana of the guf. That's what the Gemara says. And the simple reading is like what I just said. And Rashi says there's the ika hanas of guf when you go into the mikvah, the mayan, in the summer. It's a refreshing feeling of a cold water, the cold pool, that's refreshing. So the understanding here is clearly that when we say mitzvahs lav lenos nitnu, it's only with respect to the hana of the mitzvah. You can't describe hana of a mitzvah as hana. It's a schar olam haba. There's a lot to talk about regarding that. But the simple understanding is schar of a mitzvah, schar of olam haba, there's no hana to that. But if you get some ancillary hana, you get some side hana from hana's guf, that would be a violation. The mitzvah is only legabi the mitzvah of tevila. So that mitzvah, that's not hana. But if I'm also, in addition to that, I'm also getting hana, I'm getting refreshed from the cold spring, that would be a problem of getting hana, and I couldn't go ahead with that mitzvah. So that's the simple reading, that's Rashi's understanding of this sugya. But the Miri, the truth is the Miri, I quoted the Ritva, it's really a Rashba, I mix the titles up, so there's a Rashba in the Dharm, there's a Ritva in Sukkah, there's a lot of Rishon, there's a Ran in the Dharm, talk about this topic, but just to be very clear, the Miri here on Adaf is the clearest in presenting it. When you learn through the Rajba and the Ritva and the Ran, it gets a little confusing, but just breaking it down to the Yesod of this Machlokas Rishonim, if it's really true, do we really say Mitzvahs Lav Lenos Nitnu when you get Hana Saguf? Is that really going to be the case? So Rashi says, again, Rashi, when there's Hana Saguf, so then you can't go ahead with the Mitzvah. But there is another sheet to that the Miri quotes, and the Miri says that no, even when there is hanas guf, still we would apply mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu, which means one could go ahead with the mitzvah even though you're going to get some physical hana, some physical enjoyment, you're still allowed to go ahead, because that hana ends up being batel, it becomes tafel to the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself overwhelms the hana that's there. So yes, I'm going to enjoy the mikvah in the summer. I'm going to enjoy the sound of the shofar. I'm going to enjoy whatever the enjoyment is. But the fact that there's the mitzvah is mamish mevatil, it gets rid of any other physical hana. That's the other understanding. Which would mean you should be allowed to go to the mikvah in the summer. Because the mitzvah of tevila is going to trump the hana as a guf. So the Miri has to explain then, how is this Gemara understood? If it's really true that the mitzvah, the schar mitzvah, the na mitzvah is mevata, the hanas gufo, so why is it taka asa to go into the summer, into the mikvah in the summer? So what's the Miri answer? After the fact, when you go into the mikvah, so what's the mitzvah of the mikvah? So there's a maisa tevila, you go into the tevila, you go into the mikvah, or the fact that you're tavel, but the moment you immerse yourself entirely, so now the mitzvah is done, and then you're still in the mikvah. No matter how long you want to wait for, you want to jump out right away, the mitzvah is over momentarily, and then you're getting hana after the mitzvah is done. So when the Rishonim hold that the hanas mitzvah is mevatel hanas gufo, it's only if it's at the moment of the mitzvah. But if that hana is able to prolong, outlast the hanas mitzvah, then there will be an iser hanas gufo. Is everyone good with that machlokas? So that is like the machlokas in this sugya. Whether or not during the ma'aseh mitzvah do we acknowledge hanas gufo or do we not acknowledge hanas gufo? Again, Rashi says we do acknowledge hanas gufo, and for that reason we would not invoke mitzvahs lav le'nefesh. Other Rishonim say no, we do not acknowledge hanas gufo, and you could go ahead and do the mitzvah and ignore hanas gufo. The only time it's of concern is if hanas gufo outlasts the fulfillment of the mitzvah, then we're concerned that there's hana now, and you have to stop what you're doing.
Is that machlokas then relates also whether like a tzvila in Mosacham was ma'akev the tzvila or not? And according to the second day that it's only done afterwards, and it's a good tzvila, but don't go because you'll be over on your nether. But according to the first day, even ma'akev the tzvila.
So we're not discussing this part, but there is a machlokas in the poskim whether or not this is b'di'eved l'chachila, how that all works. So I don't know if it depends on this question of what we just discussed. It might just be in general, even though we say mitzvahs lav le'nefesh nu, and certain times it's going to be hanas gufo, and you shouldn't go ahead with it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be ma'akev. What you're saying might make sense. I don't think the poskim connected to this sugya. It's a separate question of whether or not one gets hana during the mitzvah will be ma'akev or not be ma'akev. But I think your line of thinking is correct. I just don't think they go that direction. Okay, so based on this, so we have that even though we say that the mitzvah, the hanas mitzvah, is mevatel hanas gufo, we do have an instance where even those who shama hold, it's usher to do a mitzvah, which again is if the hanas gufo outlasts the hanas mitzvah. There is another exception where they would agree that one should not go ahead with the mitzvah if there is going to be a hanas gufo as well. And that's this Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan talks about an interesting question. He says, if it's really true that during the Ma'aseh Mitzvah there's no Hanas Gufo, we ignore all Hanas Gufo, so why is it usher to wear tzitzis and shatnas together? Right? If a person has tchelas on, so when there's tchelas and the tzitzis, that's docha the iser of shatnas. Now even then, by the way, that's only b'dieved. The Rambam says, just because you have kalayim, just because you have rather tchelas, doesn't mean you should wear shatnas. You're allowed to, but that's b'dieved. You don't have to go ahead and do that, and maybe you shouldn't. But the Rav Chanan asks a very basic question. Why is there an issur in the first place? If I'm wearing shatnas with tzitzis on, so I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis right now. So don't we say mitzvahs lav le'nefesh nu? There's hana of me wearing the clothing, wearing the talis, it gives me chamimis, it warms me up. But still, the Rashba says, so long as you're performing mitzvah, hanas mitzvah always overrides hanas gufa. And in the case of tzitzis, you can't tell me that, I'm getting hana of the begging after tzitzis is being worn, because every moment I'm wearing tzitzis, I'm getting the mitzvah. It's not like tevila, where you go into the mikvah, you get the mitzvah, and it's over. Tzitzis is mitzvah nimsheches. It continues to get the mitzvah as long as I'm wearing it. So there's no moment in time where there's hanas gufa without there being hanas mitzvah. So why would that be usher according to these Rishonim? Now, you could have suggested, what's Rav Chanan answer? You know what Rav Chanan answers, what he says? I missed that, what was that, Mike?
I think it's two answers.
Two answers? Yeah, we'll let the second answer a little bit more involved. Let's ignore that one for now. But the first answer he gives, anyone know? That's not a Chovas Gavra. That was his first answer he said?
Yeah.
He was saying that because you could have performed it with a different mitzvah, you could have used a different beged without shatnez, you didn't have to dafka use this beged of tzitzis, and therefore you have no right to override it. Let's say you had a situation where this was the only tzitzis available, still, as you just said, it's not a chovas gavra, I don't have to wear tzitzis. If I'm wearing dal kanvos, then there's a requirement. But I don't have to wear dal kanvos, which means I don't have to wear tzitzis either. So the mitzvah is not as urgent. So either way, we see from here that even those who say hanas mitzvahs docha hanas gufo, there are instances where we won't allow for it, which is either, again, either hanas gufo outlasts hanas mitzvah, or it's not a chovas gavra, or you could have performed the mitzvah with a different chefta. So this discussion, you have to figure out now, how do you define the hana gufa? What's called hana? You know, Yosef and I were talking a little bit before, what is a hana? A person has an emotional hana. A person has some geschmack, a certain simcha. Is that considered hana? So we'll get to that at the end, something similar to that. But the Pri Chadash talks about, do we say that by a shofar, is there a mitzvah, is there hana by a kol shofar? Music, we all enjoy music, maybe different types of music. So that's a general question, whether there's me'ila by kol. We discussed that a little bit last week, you saw it today a little bit. Whether there's me'ila by kol, something that's not substantial. So is there hana by tkiyah shofar? So Pri Chadash goes back and forth whether or not tkiyah is considered a hana or not considered hana. But the Netziv, I don't know if you had a chance to see the Netziv yet. The Netziv says something very nice. He connects this discussion, this machlokas, to Rashi and Tosfos we saw all in the beginning of the summer, a few weeks ago, that sugya of ein k'teger nasa snega. Ein k'teger nasa snega, the Gemara is going back and forth, and the Gemara said, you know, how could you... Isn't it k'teger nasa snega when you, the big day of the Kohen says, no, that's outside. Then the Gemara says, what about the kafa machta? Isn't that, it goes inside the kosh kadashim, bal yisna, you don't get hana from it, you don't enjoy it, it's not something that you wear. So the Gemara ended up concluding that even though the shofar is outside, it's b'chutz, it's kibifnim dami, and it's lizikaron, and ein k'teger nasa snega. So the shofar from a para would remind the Kodesh Baruch of the para, the Egal Zav. And even though it's outside, it goes inside the Kodesh Kedashim Bifnim somehow. So now, although the Gemara initially had said you have to, you know, get hana from this, only time, kafa machta, we said, it wasn't a problem of ain't taken as the snega because you don't adorn yourself, you don't dress yourself, you don't get hana from it. You're just using it for Caleb. So what about the shofar? What's the hana by shofar? So Rashi there says, once we gave the answer of shofar, we actually retracted. You don't need that criteria of hana anymore. Rashi there writes in Chavav, shofar nami afagav de les bay mishim chote bal yakriv, v'les bay mishim chote bal yisnae. Even though the shofar is not something we get hana from, we don't need that criteria anymore. If it's something that reminds us of the Egal Zav, and it has some element of bifnim, all you need is bifnim. It goes to the Kodesh Kedashim, that's all you need. You don't need the requirement of Baal Yisnar, because there's no Hana by Shofar. Tosos, very small Tosos, says, oh, Gavi Shofar, Misna Nami B'Kol Tkiyah, so there's a certain Hana from the Kol Shofar. So this Machlok is Rashi Tosos and Chavav, whether there's Hana by a Shofar, it connects back to our Sugya, these two Rishonim, about how to understand Mitzvah Lavlein Osinu. And that's what the Netziv explains. How so? The Netziv says that Rashi's Lishitaso. Because Rashi and Chavchez, what did Rashi say? That are you allowed to do a mitzvah if you're getting hana, some physical hana? Are you allowed to go to the mikveh if it's in the summer? What did Rashi say? No, you're not allowed to. You can't get hana from it. You're not allowed to go. Because he holds when there is a hanas gufo, then we don't hold a mitzvah lavlein osinu. It's thrown out. You can't get hanas gufo. So says the Netziv, Rashi l'shitasa, has to say the same thing here. He says in his parish on Gemara, it's called Merom Yisadeh. Merom Yisadeh is a pasuk in Nevi'im about the chelek of Shevet Naphtali in Eretz Yisrael. So Merom Yisadeh is the words that were used by Naphtali, so that's why he calls it Netziv is Naphtali Tzvi Yehuda in Berlin. So he calls it Sefer Merom Yisadeh. So there he writes in Daf Chavav, he explains the machlokas, Rashi Tosas, whether there's hana by shofar or not, depends on this sugya and chavches of mitzvahs lavlein osinu. How so? Because Rashi says, the only time we say you could do a mitzvah even though you were no der hana, it's only when there's no hana's gufa by the mitzvah. Mashe'en came when there's a hana's guf, like the mayon, b'imos hachama, then you can't go ahead with the mitzvah. Im kein, says the Netziv, tzarch lomar, kol shofar ein ba hana guf. There can't be a nas guf by a shofar. And that's why the Gemara in Chavches says, hamod der nabi shofar, you can had the shofar blown for you because mitzvos lav lenos nitnu. Because had there been hana by a shofar, if there had been hana's gufo by a shofar, then Rashi wouldn't allow you to hear the shofar from someone else. Just like he doesn't allow you to go to the Maya in the Milos Hachama. So Rashi is forced into saying that there's no hana's gufo by a shofar. But according to Tosos, who understands like the other Rishonim, that even when there is hana's guf, the hana's mitzvah always knocks out hana's gufo. Hana's mitzvah is always better. So even in the Milos Hachama, you in theory can go to the mikvah, aside from the fact that you have to stay there longer and your hana's gufo outlasts the hana's mitzvah. But still, the idea is that hana's mitzvah is a batel, mevatel, hana's gufo. So Tosas could say, even if there is hana by a shofar, it's still okay to hear a shofar from a guy you're moda hana from. Because hana's mitzvah of shofar is mevatel the hana's gufo of a shofar. And that's why Tosas is allowed to explain in Daf Chavav that there is a shofar is bal yisna, there is hana for it. Ah, but doesn't the Gemara later on say, Hamoda Hana, you can hear a shofar from the guy? Aren't you getting Hana's Gufo also? Tosa says you are getting Hana's Gufo from Kol Shofar. But that's okay. Because Tosa says Hana's Mitzvah is Mevatel Hana's Gufo. We're good? So this is the very important Machlokas. Now, I just happened to see today, that's, you know, the beauty of Bikias. I always tell people, I often get people, you know, call me to have, you know, put some Seder in the life of how to do Bikias, how to, you know, cover ground in Gemara. And so I explained to them that there's two reasons why I like to learn Gemara fast. One is there's a certain, you know, you feel good about accomplishing a lot. It helps the person keep going. You don't want to be stuck in something. It's usually helpful for making siyumim during the 9 days as well. This year it didn't work out that way, unfortunately. But no, the real reason why I do this is because it helps with learning Ian. So how does it help learning Ian? You go through Gemara so quickly, you don't understand what's going on so much. So I explained that when you see so many things so often, so when you're learning a certain sugi one place, so then you're going to see some cross-reference somewhere else and help add to that sugi that you're learning. And it adds to it. It happens to also work with the memory well, too. There's a great Chassam Sofer, those doing Daf Yomi came up in Daf Kuf Mem recently. Chassam Sofer spoke about the importance of Chidushim. The Chidushim are so important, even if the Chidush isn't true, it's still important because when you create a Chidush, something so strange in your mind, it's going to help you remember that Sugya. Even though your particular Chidush might not be true, but since you worked on it so hard, it's going to have an impression in your mind, you'll help remember it. So, and the Chassam Sofer is known for having some wild Chidushim al Shas. I once asked Rav Shechter, Shaila, we're learning Maseches Beita that year, and I asked him about some very interesting Chassam Sofer about in Gozen Gzera, I think it was. And I asked him about it, and he said to me, his Shver once told him that, I was once looking in his base magistrate, he told me, I was looking at the Chassam Sofer's Chedushim al-Shas, he says to Rav Shechter, don't learn it, it's not for you, it's too many Chedushim for you, you don't like Chedushim so much. Rav Shechter likes to learn the simple pshat of things. So the lot of Chedushim in the Chassam Sofer. So the reason they make a Chedush is because it helps you remember things better, even if it's not true. So when you see a Gemara somewhere else or a Din somewhere else, and you're learning a Sukkah, it's going to help the memory. It's going to come from left field. When you learn through Gemara just straight, so then it's just like page after page. But when you find the Gemara in the Darim or Din and Shulchan Aruch here, to that Sukkah, it's going to stick in the memory much better. So when you start doing Bikias and start seeing them cross paths with Sukkahs, it does help happen. It's strangely enough, it does help with the memory. So this morning I was learning with someone. We were learning Basa B'Chalaf. And we learned together, and I was reminded of a Pischei Tshuva. Those who knew Basa B'Chalaf would be familiar with this. It's right in the beginning of Basa B'Chalaf. And it's talking about, there's three Yisroel when it comes to Basa B'Chalaf. There's one that you can't get Hana from it, you can't Bishel, you can't cook it, and you can't eat it. Right? Echad, Yisroel, Le'echel, Le'bishel, and Hana. That's why it says, Lo Sefa Shel Gedi B'Chei V'mo three times in the Torah. One for the Yisroel eating, one for the Yisroel cooking, one for the Yisroel of Hana. So the Pischei Tshuva here, he quotes a discussion about, let's say, a person cooked butter, fat, oil of some sort, in a pot, a fleishik pot. So you cook butter, it's basa b'chalav now. It's a pot that was eino ben yomo, which means it was used within the 24 hours, past 24 hours, there's meat tam in there. So when you cook the butter, that butter now has meat tam, it's basa b'chalav. Now the question is, Pesach Yeshua raises, Are you allowed to use this to light Neres Chanukah? Use Neres Chanukah, Basar B'Chalav. You can't get enough from Basar B'Chalav. So what does he say? He says it's asa to use. Ah, mitzvahs lav le'anas nitnu. So it shouldn't be an issue. Because you have no problem getting enough doing a mitzvah. You should be allowed to. So he says, mikol makom asar, it's asar nonetheless. Why? Because ner Chanukah ba'i shir, you need a shir, a certain amount of oil lasts for 30 minutes, you need a shir. That's why, by the way, in terms of the shir, those who allow one to light electric lights for menorah, if that's allowed, let's say you're on a airplane, you can't light a fire, obviously, there, or hotels, according to many. So they say it's better to use battery as opposed to electric wall, because a battery is a shear. It lasts for a few hours. You have a shear of oil. If it's in the wall, there's no shear. It just keeps coming and coming and coming, but it's not a set shear. You need a shear for Chanukah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about this. So you need a shear of shemen. So now if your bas b'chalav is the oil that's being used, and so the din is you have to get rid of the bas b'chalav. You can't get hanah from it. So he quotes the Gemara here, k'tusei mechta shi'ura. It's as if the shear isn't there. It's not present. And you don't have the proper shear of Chanukah, and therefore you can't use Basar B'Chalav as the oil for Ner Chanukah. That's what he said before that point. That's the issue he says. So now, what's interesting about this Pischei Tshuva is as follows. He says, he invokes mitzvahs lav l'nes ninu. So, wait a second. Isn't there Hanas Gufir also? What's Hanas Gufir? The light, right? So what's the answer to that? Can't get enough from it. So therefore it's fine. Would you apply, so since you can't get enough from the Neres Chanukah, so Hanah is not really a factor here, and therefore you could go ahead and light it, had not been for the requirement of Shir. Yes, before I get to your question, what about Ner Shabbos? What do we say about Ner Shabbos? Can I use Basar B'Chalav for Ner Shabbos? Probably not, right? You don't need a Shir, per se, like as much as Neres Chanukah, but you, Dafka, do need to get Hanah. The point is for Shalom Bayis to get Hanah from it. You, Dafka, if you're lighting candles and you're not going to be home for Tzeis, and you go out for meals, it's a big problem because you haven't gotten Hanah. So when ladies ask, can I light candles and go out for a eat? I said, either wait till Tzeis to get some Hanah, or make sure it's lit for a long time to get Hanah when you come home afterwards. And if that's not an option, then light where you're eating, even though it's very bidyevet. But you have to get Hanah from it. So by Ner Chanukah, it's allowed. Ner Shabbos seemingly would not be allowed because you'd be getting Hanah from the candles. Unless you say, what? Unless you go back to this machlokas. What would you say? Exactly. So even though you're supposed to get hanah from Ner Shabbos, but if you hold like the shitas that hold that the mitzvah, hanas mitzvah, overrides the hanas gufo, then you'd be allowed to use it for Shabbos. So it would be an interesting nafka mina. Yeah.
Yes. Same about, but I think the Marshal talks about shemen sreifa, right?
Yeah, this is it. They quoted, the Kohet Shirum quoted this, the sreifa, Kachrim sreifa, Shuma comes up as well. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go to one last piece now. So, in terms of different hanas, and what's considered hanas, is hanas kol shofar considered hanah. So that we saw as machlokes Rashi Tosfos. So there's a very interesting Magen Avraham, completely different topic, but somewhat related to 3 weeks, about saying a shachianu. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara in Brachos. If a person buys a new house and new clothing, you're supposed to say a Shechayanu. And then the Magen Avraham says it's only true if you're buying Kli Tashmish. You're buying, an oven. You're buying a refrigerator. A big purchase. Now, by the way, if it's something for the family, you don't say Shechayanu. You say it's Tova Meitiv. So during 3 weeks, although we avoid saying a Shechayanu, the Ramosha writes, you could say a Tova Meitiv, which sounds counterintuitive. Shechianu, you can't say, but Tova Meitiv, where more people are enjoying it, you do say, but that's a little bit of a different story. But you say a Shechianu when making a big purchase of a Kli Tashmish, says Magen Avraham. Aval al Svarim Chadashim Eino Mevarch, you don't say a bracha on buying new Svarim, why not? Mitzos Lav Leanas Nitnu. They're not meant to get Hana. So I'm getting a geschmack from a new Sefer, but there's no hana, because the hana's mitzvah, not hana's gufa. So what are your thoughts on that? Chiddush Magen Avraham. Something sounds a little off, strange. It's Magen Avraham. Just what's going on here? What do you think?
It's not physical enough, but it's emotional, I guess.
It's emotional. It's a geschmack. You get out of something. And therefore what? You can't say any hana. So here he's trying to say that first thing is shechianu, you need to dafka get hana from something. So this hana that you're getting, you're saying is hana or not hana? Any other thoughts on this? Vata mitzvah. So you are getting hana, but the mitzvah of the kinyan of the svarim is mevatel the hana of the buying the sefer. So what's the mitzvah? Exactly, the rush. Excellent, the rush. So we're all familiar with the mitzvah, the raisa, the last mitzvah in the Torah to write a sefer Torah, ksiva sefer Torah. Most people are not zocha to that mitzvah to actually write it. Some people are zocha by hiring someone to buy it, to write it. But the rush is a famous tshuva discussion where he says that by buying svarim, so it's ki'ilu, it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of kinyan sefer Torah. So that would be the mitzvah, I would assume. The mitzvah of buying would be like ksiva sefer Torah. So now we're saying, see, even though there's a geshmak a person gets, the mitzvah of sefer Torah, ksiva sefer Torah, is mevatel, the geshmak a person feels. And therefore there is no bracha. Okay, so that's an interesting din. For many reasons. Just figure out which direction to go here. So many ways to go here. But let's go with this. The Mishabura writes in number 8, those who have it in front of them, he quotes from the Chai Adam that if a person is Mahadir Acher Zeh Sefer, he's looking really far and wide for a particular Sefer and finally bought it, a person should say a bracha because the whole bracha was Niskan al Simcha, Vla Tashmish. The nature of Shech Yanu was not to buy something to use. It was a bracha dafka on one's geshmak, the simcha person feels. So, this idea of the application of Mrs. Lavin Hansen, it was a very strange application for the Magen Avraham. Yeah?
Do you think that in a world of, like, let's say, a Chachma and Bar Ilan, or even if you couldn't find it physically, you would be able to, you know, in theory, find it online, but now you did find it physically also, and you're
so the bracha of Shechianu was only instituted, it was a very subjective thing, so it depends on the person. So for me, a fancy suit might be, give me a simcha, some other guy, it's no big deal for him. So if a guy, uses Otzer Chachman, he finds a sefer, it gives him a simcha, he has to decide on his own how much simcha it gives him, and then he would say the bracha, otherwise he would not.
What's the shiur of simcha?
Hard to know. There's no way to define it.
But, yeah, right. But, you'd be able to say just by finding it on Instagram.
No, I thought you were saying, he had access, but then he bought the safer afterwards. Right. Even though he had access before, but it was on the computer screen. I hate using computer screens. Yeah. So it depends on the person. Hard, you can't give it a get therefore. But let's get back to this point for a moment. So I think this machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah about whether one should say a Shechianu on this or not is as follows. I think it depends on two Gemaras about what the nature of Shechianu is. There are really three opinions, but let's go with two right now. Anyone know what the different issues? What is the Mechai for saying Shechianu? So there's a Gemara in the last staff of Maseches Pesachim that talks about Pidyon HaBen. Who says the bracha of Shechianu Pidyon HaBen? Who are the options? Either, who do you think says the bracha? Kohen
the Father.
Kohen the Father. Avi HaBen? Of the Kohen, the Gemara says, should the Avia Ben say it because he got to a very big milestone? His son is now Nifta and he could have him for himself, however you view Pidyon HaBen. Or should the Kohen say it because the Kohen gets Hana? He receives 5 silver coins, very valuable coins. So that's the Gemara's suffix. So it's based on the Hana that the Kohen gets. There's another Gemara in Ksubis that wants to know whether or not a person should say Shea Simcha B'Ma'ono by Bris Mila. And the Gemara says no, because it's Tzar Liyanuka, the child that goes through his pain, so you can't say Simcha B'mono. But there the Gemara talks about whether you say Shechianu, the Rishon talk about whether you say Shechianu or the Bris Mila. So some say that Shechianu is based on Simcha, and some say it's based on Hana. Hana is typically physical Hana. Simcha is an emotional experience, a feeling. So the Gemara in the end of Pesachim talks about the Kohen's, he gets hanah because he has money. That's a physical hanah, but he's going to use it physically to buy something. That's something tangible. As opposed to the simcha, a person feels at a simcha, a bris mila, that simcha, it's called a sason. So that's an emotional feeling. So I believe that Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah are arguing about whether or not Shechianu is a simcha or hana, what's the mechayev, and then whether or not you could apply mitzvahs lav lenas ninu or not. Meaning the Magen Avraham thinks Shechianu comes whenever there's hana. So there's hana, a person has hana when he buys a new sefer, that's called hana because you could use it now. It's usable, it's something physical. If it's in the realm of hana, well, mitzvahs lav lenas ninu. The mitzvah at hand is going to override any of the hana you feel. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, that he says, no, Birchas Shechianu is not about hana. It's about simcha. Right? I think Eliot's case is a great example. I was able to access the Sefer online anyways. There was no new hana to me. The same hana existed then and now. But there's a new simcha that's here now. I'm just excited. I own it now. It's in my shelf. I could show it off to people. I could write notes in it. So, therefore, if it's about simcha, that's not what Shechianu is about. Shechianu is about hana. When there's a certain hana a person receives. That could be part of this conversation. I think you have to probably dig in further to mechayev between simcha and hana. But according to that, that's why the Mishnah Berurah would say that even though there's no simcha, even though there is simcha here, it's not relevant to raise the question of mitzos lav lehanas nitnu, because that's a question of hana, physical hana, like going into the mikvah in the summer. Okay, you know, we did a lot today. Let's stop here. Tomorrow we're going to continue the sugya, the Baal Mor in the back, and discuss whether or not this would also apply equally to Mrs. Dirabanan or not Mrs. Dirabanan.